Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Pastor Perkins. This is our midweek Bible study. We're going to ask everybody to draw our minds in because we're going to pray, and then we're going to have tonight's Bible study. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand in awe of you. We thank you for this day that you have made, this day that you have commissioned us to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being awesome. Lord, you are our shield and exceeding great reward. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah, and we praise you. Lord, we know that your name is indeed a strong tower and we can run to it and be safe. Lord, that you are our helper in times of trouble, that we can abide in you, Lord, from everlasting to everlasting. You're still God. Lord, so we thank you. Lord, we ask that you touch and bless everyone who joins, whether they join now or join later. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you sanctify and bless and multiply, hallelujah, your word in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, we come, Lord, expecting great things. We come, Lord, in confidence. We come to the throne, Lord, not worried about anything, because, Lord, we're casting all of our worries, our cares, our concerns, our insecurities, whatever, Lord, the things that we would worry about if we didn't know you, we give it to you. And, Lord, we ask your blessing over those among us who are sick or troubled. Lord, we just need you, Lord. Oh, we need you to breathe. We need you to think. We need you to live. We need you, Lord, hallelujah, to deliver us out of snares. We need you, Lord, hallelujah, to keep us, hallelujah, in perfect peace. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the joy bells ringing on the soul today. Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we thank you for family, for loved ones, hallelujah, for encouragement from our brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for a place to pray, Lord. Thank you for food and shelter. Thank you, Lord, for the measure of health and strength that you have appointed to us for this day. And Lord, we give you the glory and we praise you with everything that we have, Lord. We're not worried about what's going on in this world. We're not worried about, hallelujah, the ups and downs of life. Lord, we come in confidence. We come, hallelujah, knowing that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think through the power that works in us. So, Lord, we are your workmanship. Hallelujah. You're the master craftsman. We're on your potter's wheel. So, Lord, work on us. Let your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, do the spiritual surgery we need. Lord, we don't want it, but what we need. And, Lord, prune us. Help us to abide, Lord. Help us, Lord, to flourish and prosper and grow and bear fruit under your watchful care. Bless the speakers tonight and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, tonight we have a special class. We're going to do a tag team and from John, the fourth chapter. That's going to be the main scripture. Minister Malone and I started talking about this back in February. And so we're working on it. And tonight it comes to pass. She's going to go first. And I've planned it so she has a little bit more time than I do. So she is going to lead us off with the lesson tonight. Let's receive her. Let's unmute. Come on, unmute y'all. And let's, everybody unmute your phones, please, if you can. And y'all, you're slow on that, but those of you who are not muted, let's greet her by saying, praise the Lord, Minister Malone.
Praise the Lord, Minister Malone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Y'all can go back on me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord, everybody. Because we are doing Bible study, we're studying the Word of God together. It's not typical for when someone gets before the people to read a whole chapter in many cases before they preach. But we're not preaching, we're teaching. So we're going to go through the entire chapter of John 4. The book of John is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I mean, I have many, amen, but this is one of my favorites. It's also the first book that I did my first exhortation from, and so happened to be from John 4. But I'm not using any old notes. I did go before the Lord for a fresh revelation of the word to dissect the word. Oh, sorry if y'all hear Sam in the background. She's my amen corner. Okay, so the title for this evening's Bible study is Sowing and Reaping God's Word. Sowing and Reaping God's Word, John 4. So, I'm going to read a few chapters, then I'm going to go back and then discuss and talk and teach on those scriptures. So I'm not reading the entire chapter. I don't want to read ad nauseum. So I'm going to read a few scriptures and then I'm going to go back and then we're going to teach on those and then go through until it's time. Amen. Okay. John 4 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, for Jesus being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman, a Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Jesus said to her, Jesus a Jew said to the Samaritan woman, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gaveth us this well, and drinketh thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay, I'm going to pause there. I really want to keep going, but I'm going to pause there. Amen. Okay, so going back, I'm going to start at verse 4. But Jesus he had a need to go to through Samaria. Jesus does nothing by accident. There's nothing that God does by accident. It was purposeful for him to go through Samaria, to go through this city. And from what we read, it was purposeful for him to meet this woman, right? Jesus and the Samaritans, the Jews and the Samaritans don't deal with each other. They have no dealings with each other. They avoid communication as much as possible. It's the last result for them to come in contact. They have prejudice towards one another. So they minimize this dealing. So Jesus is going to the well and he sees a woman. Now, back in this time, women will go together to draw water. They go in groups. They will never go alone. You'll never find a woman traveling by herself. It's always a group or a company with another woman. So get that, okay? Amen. Let me get my notes. Okay, Samantha. Amen. Thank you, Samantha. Okay, so Jesus being tired in the sixth hour, he stops at a well and he sees this woman by herself and she's coming to draw water. And Jesus asks for her to give me a drink of water. Again, women are not, women do not go to the well alone. They go in groups. Two, Jews and Samaritans, they have no dealings with one another. And three, men do not talk to women in public during this time. So all these things are happening and it's like, something's going on. You have to read more than just John the fourth chapter, amen? You gotta read the Bible to get context of what's happening and coming up in what our reading is. So, amen. So imagine a time in your life, or even now, where you have felt isolated, or you felt alone, you felt abandoned, no one understood you. And God made a point to get to you. He made his mission to get a word to you. He made his mission to speak or give a revelation, either it's in word, through someone else, through a sign. Because for this woman to come to the well by herself, one, that means she must have a reputation, right? Because why is she by herself? So, amen. I'm not going to jump ahead of the story or my notes. Okay, so now Jesus is asking her for water, but she's like, how are you asking me? And we have no dealings. And then Jesus is like, well, if you knew, you would ask. Now, I'm jumping ahead a little bit in my notes, but again, you got to read your Bible because it's more than just John 4, but Jesus reveals himself not to everyone. The Bible says we can entertain angels unaware, right? So Jesus is talking to her. He has not yet identified or has stated that he is the Christ, but he's saying, well, if you knew who I was, and if you were to ask, you would have been given living water. So the woman, he's asking for water to drink. So she thinks it's something earthly, something tangible, something that she can give. But he's saying that if you were to ask for water, I'd give you something that's more than tangible, something that's beyond what's in the natural. Okay. Amen. Let's keep going. And I'm sorry. I don't want to jump over my notes. I got highlights and underlines. Amen. Y'all should see my noted Bible. So She is thirsty and he has a source. The woman being thirsty, so she comes to the well to draw water. And he, being Jesus, has the source to quench her thirst within living water. The woman misses a spiritual truth. And I was pulling up the scripture. I'm sorry. Pulling up the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2. So she misses a spiritual component when God is saying that if you were to ask, if when Jesus said, if you were to ask, you would have given living water. 1 Corinthians 12:2, chapter 2, verses 12 to 14 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the world, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we can't compare a spiritual component, as in the word of the living water, with an earthly component as a tangible of water drawn from the well, right? The man being human, we are fallible creatures, have a wisdom and knowledge. The Bible also says, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct the path. Him being Jesus. So we want to always lean on God, one, for understanding of what he speaks, because the Bible speaks in parable for man to understand, but the parable always has an heavenly component that we cannot perceive unless it's taught in a earthly way for us to grasp, right? Okay, amen. But for verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So in our natural state, we can't receive what God is speaking to us. You can only receive it by the Spirit. How do you receive it by the Spirit? You must be filled with the Spirit. Okay, this is another teaching. Pastor, you got to prepare me for this. When we start teaching and talking about the Word of God, you get caught up. I'm not going to get caught up, but how do you receive what the Spirit is? You got to be filled by the Spirit. And how you are filled by the Spirit, you must be filled by the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit give utterance. It's nothing that you can conjure up. It's nothing that you can learn by reading in a book. It's something that God gives you himself. And that comes with repenting, right? Being baptized in Jesus' name, all the things. Amen. That's another lesson for another time. Please call me if you need help with that. But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when this woman is communing with God, she missed a spiritual truth in the water that she could receive. I'm going to keep reading. So I stopped at verse 14. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hear it. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. So now we know why she's by herself, right? Because back then, she doing a lot. You know, she didn't go to the well with all the other women. She by herself, she got a reputation. This woman got five. She had five husbands, can't keep one. And then it says, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. And thou says thou truly. So she had five husbands and she with a man now that's not her husband. Okay, amen, keep going. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, in the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. Okay, amen. For salvation is of the Jews. So he's drawing a line between the Jews and the Samaritans, right? Amen. But the hour cometh, so there will be a time. And then it says, and now is. So there is a time, but it is now. And now is. When the true worshipers shall worship and worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So this goes back to perceiving the things of the spirit. We can't do that in our carnal mind, in our earthly mind, unless we're filled by the spirit, being filled by the spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, same interchange, spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing. And that is given by God with the evidence of speaking tongues. You know you have the Holy Ghost if you spoke in tongues. Amen. It's nothing that you made up or mimic someone else. You know, because it come with a burning fire and you can't stop it. You can't quench it. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, Jesus already said, I know you have five husbands, and the one you with now, is that not, I mean, did he not already tell her something? But she's like, oh, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he come, he gonna tell us all things. Now, if someone read me my mail, y'all think whatever you into or trying to get a break from or break from, or that got a hold on you that you need deliverance, think of that you don't want nobody to know. Don't put it on Facebook, not on Snapchat. Don't blast me on TikTok. Don't even send it to me in the mail. I don't want no one to know it. But then you have someone that has no dealings with you, someone who should not be talking to you, that comes out of the blue and reads you your mail. Say, well, I know this skeleton is in the closet, and I know these other five skeletons are in the closet. So Jesus said unto her, verse 26, I that speaketh unto thee am he. At this moment, this is the first time that Jesus has professed to someone that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah that has come. Okay, I'm going to pause there and go to my notes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let me find where I am. Okay. So, one. Amen. Okay, the woman's response in verse 15 said, give me to drink, so I will thirst no longer and neither have to come to draw, was motivated by a desire of convenience. It wasn't, her response was not motivated spiritually. Again, she was not perceiving what God was saying in the spirit. She was like, well, if you can give me living water where I don't have to come up here all the time, then give me that. But she wasn't perceiving what God was saying to her. Now, true worship is based not on location, but the condition of your heart. Yes, it is good for brethren to dwell together. It is good for you to find a church home, to be connected with a ministry that is Bible teaching, not feeling teaching. Amen. There's a big difference, and many of us on here are adults and know the difference of a preacher teaching Bible and scripture and word versus a preacher that's teaching based on his feelings. So to find a Bible teaching ministry that will teach you the word, yes, that is very important. But you do not have to be in the house of God to worship God. Amen. You could be in your car. Some of y'all may be in your car driving home from work. Amen. Don't turn on your cameras. 10 and 2, stay focused. You could be in your home. You can be in your bedroom to tap in to worship God. Now, again, it is not based on the condition of your heart. Now, you can't go and cuss somebody out and they're like, oh, I worship you, Jesus. No, it don't work like that. Not sincerely. I mean, it could, but it's not a sincere heart, right? We want to worship God in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such. Now, we want, because God seeks us to worship him in spirit and in truth, why don't we? Why should, why are we lacking in such a way? We as me as well. Amen. I put myself on the altar and I have to repent. So, okay, I'm trying to tap into God. We must repent. We have to die out of ourselves. Even if you feel like I stayed at home all day, I didn't do nothing, I didn't talk to nobody, you still must repent. Your mind, was it on Jesus 24/7, 24 hours that day? No, you probably think, well, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to cook, what I'm going to watch on TV. Anything that can seep into our ear gates, our eye gates, our soul, our spirit. We got to repent of those things. God, forgive me for the things that I've said, the things that I've done, the things that I've thought knowingly and unknowingly. If I've sinned in any way where I don't even perceive, I can't think, it was a cluttered day, forgive me of it. That way you can get into a place to worship God the way he seeks us to. Amen. So, verse 26, Jesus declares his messiahship to the Samaritan. Now, this is big. This is real big. Not only did he declare that he's the Messiah that has come to tell all things, which he has done, but he declared this to a Samaritan, right? Someone that they don't have any dealings with. He declared it to a woman, something that men do not talk to women in public alone. Now, let's put ourselves in this place. We have a reputation. We are ostracized from our community in such a way where she's coming to the well by herself. So she's obviously ostracized. She has a reputation. No one wants to, the other women don't want to be like birds of a feather flock together kind of thing. So I have these skeletons in my closet, and here comes God to give you a revelation, to open our minds, to open our hearts, to open our spirits, that yes, you know God. It was like, I know, what's the song by Mary Mary? I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And you ask people, do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Oh, yes, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Everybody know Jesus. But who's worshiping him in spirit and in truth? You can know the word. I know, I can read it and know the word, but do you know the author? People think, oh, the Bible is written by men. No. The Bible is written by the Spirit of God through man to give us the word, right? So man physically wrote it, but God gave it to man to write the words that we read. Amen. I digress. I could go on to that. However, so Jesus declares himself to be the Messiah to a woman, to a Samaritan, to a woman. And I think of myself, because since Pastor Perkins let me go first, me being a woman, me being a Black woman, me being a Black woman who served in the military, so I'm a veteran, right? For me, I have sinned. I had to repent. I had to be baptized. I had to have my sins. So I had all these things against me, right? And before I stepped forward for God to wash and cleanse me, he had to meet me. He revealed himself to me. He revealed himself in a way that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that was God speaking to me. Because there was nothing, and there was nothing and nothing that I've told anyone that God revealed to me. And it wasn't, I've heard the audible spiritual voice of God. He told me he loved me. He said, I love you. That shook me to my core. But in this instance, when God revealed himself to me, it was when I was reading his Bible. And you know how we say, well, it's like you need a prayer, like, God, I need a prayer, speak to me. And you just open a page and be like, this is what I'm reading, this is what God said. It was like one of those Russian roulettes. Like, you don't know what you're gonna land. You don't know what you're gonna land on when you do that. You play with fire when you do that. But God revealed himself to me in such a way. It's like the things that I've been crying about, the things that I've been praying about, I opened God's word and it was like pages lifting, the words lifting off the pages. Like, I knew it was God. And then that's where the journey of salvation and building a relationship with God, not just a religious, like doing things religiously or out of routine, but to build a relationship with God. And I was separated. I was by myself. I was in Mississippi. I didn't have family. I didn't have friends on the coast at this time. And God, in a sense, came to the well to me. I did live on the coast. It was near the beach. So the beach being the well, amen, that's a huge well. But God came to me and revealed himself. Amen, Samantha. I'm sorry if y'all hear her scream. She watching Teletubby. Okay, amen. So when we study, you want to put yourself in the word. Right? You want to put yourself in the word. Because that's how we grow. That's how we stretch. So I put myself as the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and God revealing himself to me in such a profound way. Okay. Amen. Okay. I'm missing my notes, but I'm going through the scripture. I'm not even on my notes at the moment. And upon, okay, keep reading verse 27 because it's Bible study. So those that may have come in a little late, the topic is sowing and reaping God's word. And he's like, you haven't even got back to the meeting. It's coming, I promise. Sowing and reaping God's word. And I'm reading a few scriptures at a time and going back between the notes and the scriptures. So verse 27 says, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? They knew better. It's Jesus. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. Now, when I was reading and dissecting this, when she went to the men, it was like, well, she didn't have no female friends. And if you talk to many women, it's like they don't have a lot of female friends. They get along more with men. Women are catty. We know each other. But in this instance, if you read back, she had five husbands, and the one she went now ain't her husband. So she went to what she knew. That's in one way. But then another thing that I studied and read is like the men could have been like as a whole, the people of the city. So either way, amen. She went into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out ought to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth, this is the topic, soweth, and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestow no labor, other men labored, and ye are enter into their labors. Okay, we're gonna pause there. So, sowing and reaping. Sowing, casting seeds, planting seeds, and reaping, gathering up the harvest. Now, it's a scripture says, one man soweth, another one sow, one waters, but God gives the increase. Thank you, baby. One waters, God gives the increase. Now, what does that mean for us as the believer? Just for what we have read so far in the scripture, putting myself as the woman at the well, this man meets me, he asks me to drink, he tells me about living water. Oh, I would love some living water so I don't have to come to this well every day to draw water. I'll never thirst. He said, I will never thirst again. Water, everlasting water, forever, until springing up into everlasting life is what the word says. And then he tells me all my business. He tells me the business I don't want everybody to know about. And then he reveals to me he is the Messiah. I know the Messiah is coming. When he come, he gonna tell me everything. Well, woman, didn't I not tell you who you is and what you be? So, where do I sow? As we kept reading, she, at this point in my sanctified imagination, she's like, when Jesus says, I that speaketh unto thee am he, you the Messiah, you telling me all these things. You're telling me about living water. Now it's starting to click. Now Jesus has revealed himself to her. Just God, keep reading your Bible. Amen. Just as Jesus revealed himself to Mary when after he was crucified and he was put in the tomb, and Mary went to the tomb and she's walking and she's talking to who she perceived to be the gardener. It's like, well, would you tell me where you moved his body? And then when he says her name, Mary, now she knows, Rabbi. He revealed himself. God, you never know who you're talking to. You never know who you're entertaining. You could be, like I said before, you could be entertaining angels unaware. So how do we sow the seed? Get to the point, Beverly. Okay. She ran to the city to sow the seeds. She ran to the city to tell the men all the things, which told me all the things I ever did. That's what verse 29, that's what it says. Come see a man which told me all the things I've ever did. Is this not the Christ? It wasn't questioning, is this not the Christ? It was more like a rhetorical question because Jesus said, I am he. So that's how we sow seed. Let's think of it now, present tense, where we are individually in our walk with Christ. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're faced up against, the tears we cry that no one knows about, the pain we feel that no doctor or nurse or medication can touch, the isolation, abandonment that we may feel, even within a crowd, in our family, in our homes. But you have God make a purposeful trip to come speak to you, to reveal himself to you, to reveal the everlasting life, to reveal heavenly things to you. What do you do with it? Now, again, I said Jesus, he teaches parable. Now, there's a parable about, and I think Elder Jackson talked about this last week, about the talents that he gave one man one, another five, and another 10. You don't want to be that person that takes that talent and buries it. You gotta read your Bible. I'm not gonna be a spoiler alert. You gotta read your Bible to know what happened to that one that buried that. So God is reveals himself to you. He's talking to you. He's drawing you. No one can go unto the Father unless we are drawn. God is drawing you. So what do? We go sow. Now, you don't have to have a title. You don't need a platform. You don't need a spotlight. All eyes don't have to be on you. How do you sow those seeds? Well, when you're in the grocery store. And it could be something small. God reveals to you, like, man, I read you. Someone's like, oh, I've had that box of mac and cheese before. I really didn't like it. I like the Kraft. I don't like the Velveeta. Oh, well, that's good. You know what I read today? I read that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You're sowing a seed. Or when you're at the gym or at the gas station, in your neighborhood, going to the mailbox, in school, in the hallways, at your job, whomever you encounter is your opportunity to sow seed. Now, how do we reap these seeds? Well, one sow it, one reap it. God gives the increase. One plants, one water, God gives the increase. We don't do it all. We do what we can. We do a little bit. And for the sake of the teaching, we're sowing and reaping God's word. So we all can't be the head. We all can't be the hands and the feet. You're only one part of the body. So be a sower, sow God's word. Now, if you are versed in your word and you have a deep relationship with God, and you come across someone who has been sown. Oh, I know God. Like the woman, I know the Messiah. I know he's coming. Now it's time to reap. Okay, well, let me reveal to you the heavenly things that God has revealed to me. And God will give the increase. We don't get any credit. No, no, Lord. We get no credit. Beverly gets no credit. I sow the seed that God has given me, and I reap with the help and the strength of the Lord. Reap. This is going into a deep, more deeper teaching of Pastor Perkins, more deeper than what I expected. So sowing the word of God, sowing what God reveals to you, sowing what you learn, what you read, what you pray about, what is taught, you know, during Sunday services. Again, when I say you have to find a Bible teaching ministry, sowing those seeds to those who don't know Jesus, who will never darken the doorway of a church. And you can sow the word of God into them where they will be drawn. Now we are reaping and God is getting the increase and we're reaping them into everlasting life. We're reaping. So we want souls to be saved. I'm going to use my husband for example. I don't want to love God in such a way that I'm so heavily bound and my husband can be doing every and all the things, and the life he living shows no direction to want to go to heaven. I don't want the trumpet to sound and I'm caught up and he's still here. We don't want to go through they say misery love company, but I wouldn't say this is misery. The life of a Christian, to the life to live sanctified, the life to live and love God is not misery, it's joy, because we know what the end is going to be. And we want to bring and take as many of our loved ones, our families, our friends with us. So we want to reap them into the kingdom by the word of God. I'm gonna pause here. Now I'm gonna let Pastor Perkins chime in. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to be very brief and I'm going to turn it back over to you. I thought I would warn you. But what's beautiful about this we find this woman was neither an example or a witness or an ambassador for the Lord. And then the Lord talked to her in some urgent ways. And in verse 23, and I'm just going to ask a question, and then I'm going to briefly turn it back over. Verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So I'm going to ask those of you who are listening a very simple question. What's wrong with now? This sister, who was not a witness, not an example, not a representative of the Lord, and Jesus talked to her. We are saved by the word of God. Jesus spoke to her. He was sitting on the well waiting for her. And then what did she do? She became a witness. She became an ambassador. And we trust by God's grace, she became an example of the Lord. And just piggybacking very briefly on something Minister Malone just said, there is a sweet loneliness to walking with Jesus in that you're going to be misunderstood because he was misunderstood. You're going to be mistreated because he was mistreated. Hallelujah. You're going to be downplayed because he was downplayed. Hallelujah. And at the moment when he was having a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his adversaries came to him, tell your disciples to pipe down. They're too happy. They rejoicing too much. They keeping up too much noise. And Jesus says, if these hold their peace, the very stones will cry out to praise. God's going to get the glory. The question is he going to get the glory out of your life or out of your downfall? What's wrong with now? If you already say, what's wrong with now, going to a deeper depth into the Lord? What's wrong? Is there somebody you need to be reconciled with? Is there somebody you need, hallelujah, to apologize to? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with praising the Lord with everything that you have now? And this woman left her water pot. She was so excited. She couldn't hold a peace to go talk about Jesus. Turning back over to Minister Malone.
We're almost done, y'all. We're almost done. Why not now? Because I just pulled up the scripture, the day you hear his heart, harden not your heart. So I pray that the word falls on good ground, Jesus. Amen. Okay, picking back up, verse 39. Now that I found where I am in my notes, I'm going to follow my notes a little bit. Verse 39, this is after Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's explaining to the disciples their purpose, right? Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman who testified. That's how we're sowing. We sow with our testimony. We sow the word of God with your testimony. So many of the Samaritans believed on him. Now they believe that he is the Messiah, the coming. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with him. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now you sow the seed, you're reaping them into the kingdom. Now they are hearing Jesus for themselves. They can have I had an experience with Jesus, me being the woman at the well. I had an experience with Jesus at the well. He told me all these things. Let me go tell somebody. Let me go sow the seed. Let me go sow the word of God. And bring them to him. Now they believe because they heard. He told, amen, amen. and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. I believe for myself. Amen. Thank God for the, we do. We thank God for the preachers. We thank God for the teachers. We thank God for the prophets and evangelists and prophetess. We thank God for them for bringing the word of God. Yes. But you also got to get it for yourself. How do I get it for myself, Beverly? You read your word. You got to read your word. It's more than just John, the fourth chapter. I'm telling you, it's so much more. It's good too, but it's so much more. We have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what the scripture says. That's what they believe. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. That's why I leave Texas. No, I'm just kidding. I love my home. That's why I represent. Amen. Then when he was come unto Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Okay. Now, okay, I'm going to finish reading so I can go into the notes. Okay. They were at the feast, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So as a nobleman, he has a sick son. He's compelling Jesus, come heal my son so he don't die. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. God's like, I gotta dance and do this and you're healed, you're saved, be whole for you to believe me. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole household. That's very important. And himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So we just read the chapter 4. So to the notes. Now that we are at the end of this chapter, while Jesus was in Galilee, there was a son of a nobleman. Nobleman is someone who is admired. It's a completely different setting and prestige in what Jesus just encountered with the woman at the well. So this nobleman is someone who's admired for their moral qualities, their character, their kindness, their honor, integrity, courage. I went and wrote all of this down. Courage and bravery, their compassion, their honesty, their respect for others, and humility. Now, for these qualities don't sound like this will be fitting to the woman at the well who went to the well by herself. And then, you know, have five of the men's that she would now ain't her husband. These qualities don't seem befitting to her. Why? Because the Bible didn't say she was a noble woman. Okay, amen. Opposite of the Samaritan woman. Now, the nobleman besought, meaning he begged and compelled and called on Jesus to come heal his son. Then Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. This is completely opposite from the woman at the well. Jesus didn't perform a miracle for her. He didn't do any signs or wonders. He spoke to her. He spoke the word to her. He spoke truth to her and revealed to her for her to believe. And Jesus is acknowledging to this noble one, this noble person that, you know, is admired among his peers, that for you to believe, I have to do something. And so in turn, God says, well, go thy way, thy son is healed. So in turn, God is like, well, let me shift your thinking on your way to believe me. I'm going to just speak a word and you shall believe. God doesn't have to part the Red Sea for me to believe. His word speaks to me for me to believe. God doesn't have to hold the sun still for me to believe. His word has revealed to me for me to believe. God does not have to. I know I see my niece on here, my sister's eldest daughter. And it was one thing that I prayed and I fasted over my sister in her last days, like, God, just heal her. But God didn't have to heal my sister for me to believe in him. She's going to be with the Lord now. It's been about 10 years this year. She's going to be with the Lord. But that didn't break my faith. Oh, well, God, you didn't heal my sister, so I don't believe. Not so. God's word, his love towards us makes me believe. Not because he performed a sign or a miracle. Jesus didn't perform any miracles for the Samaritan woman for her to believe and for many others to believe. Get the contrast. Jesus spoke to her at the well, told her, revealed to her. She went and sowed seed. She went and sold the word of God. This is the man. He told me all the things I ever did. Many people came. Many believed. He tarried because so many were so in their belief and their faith increased. God said, let me stay for a few days. And because of that, many more believed based off of her testimony. This is where you hide the seed, or we seek alternative motive in a way. I've heard other preachers say, like, you're trying to pimp God. I was like, God, if you do this, then I can do this. Well, God is still merciful. And this is what Elder Jackson preached on last week, mercy and grace. God is still merciful towards us. He's still gracious towards us. Although you may ask things amiss and you don't get it right away, you don't get it the way that we expect it or the way we want it, right? But God is still merciful that he will do it. He's still gracious towards us and loving and long-suffering towards us, that he will still make a way for us. Yes, the nobleman's son was healed, but only his household believed. He and his household. Think of the large harvest that is before us if we just believe God's word, read, trust, and believe God's word, sow the seeds of faith and God's word to others of how many other people will believe. Instead of trying to shortcut God's, like, well, if you perform this miracle, then my son won't die. Well, God spoke a word, his son didn't die, but there wasn't a vast crowd, a big crowd of believing. It was his household, because he's seeking for God to do a trick, in a sense. That's what my study Bible is saying. You're looking for God to do tricks. You heal me, I believe. Well, no, have faith enough to say, well, God, if you speak a word in this situation, I'm going to believe it. That's it. And then you go sow that seed of faith to someone else. Well, I believe God's going to heal my body. Therefore, I am healed. Other people are like, that's crazy talk. Well, come see a man. Come see a man and tell me all the things that you too shall believe. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Trust and believe God's word. You don't need to have it all together. You don't need to be like the nobleman. to have it all together, for God to use you, to speak through you. No title, no platform, no spotlight, no audience is needed to sow the seeds of your faith and God's word to others. Amen. Amen. That's all I got, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your phones off mute.
Amen.
Amen. If you got, hey, hallelujah, amen. Give us some feedback, saints.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give God some glory. Hallelujah. But give Minister Malone remarks. If you have questions, direct them to her. But I thank the Lord for that. It was beautifully done.
Yeah.
I might be the only one who put something in the chat, but I put a few things in the chat as you were teaching. And, you know, it's been a blessed night. Yeah. So floor is open for the saints to comment, remark, et cetera. You can show your face or not show your face.
I want to see y'all's face.
I want to see them.
But
if they're not prepared, if they're not prepared to unleash their face, then we're not going to make them. But go ahead.
Minister Malone. Yeah, I really wasn't prepared, but to show my face because I'm on some medication that makes you drowsy and sleepy, and I was just gonna lay there and listen. But I had to get up for you and just to let you first of all let you know you did a great job. And I'd always appreciate you just have that, you have that pleasant demeanor, that pleasantness is part of your ministry. They can reach so many people with that kind, pleasant demeanor, and which is expressing love at the same time that you have for people, and which was reflected in this this lesson. Mm-hmm. And a lot of good points, and some of my favorite scriptures, and that woman at the well, and here, you know, you use that, and it's Jesus showing how really to approach, or to allow people to approach us, and this is one of the few times, if there was ever any other time in scripture, where it says how Jesus is weary. He was weary. He was weary from his journey. It shows you all the effort that the Lord will make to reach a soul.
Hallelujah.
And that's a good example to us. The effort, the leading that the Lord that gives us. And you were reflecting that and sowing that seed. I tell you, you know, if you're familiar with farming, those farmers are up from sun up to sundown. You know, they're sowing. And they may be out there, you may see them out there in the field on their tractors with the headlights on, out in the field in the dark. But the effort that Jesus made, and also the spirit that he showed. There's a word that I like to use for this. It's called affable, which meant that he was approachable.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most approachable individual that there is. No matter what condition that we're in, we can go to him with as we are. Not hiding, no pretense, you know, not putting on any airs or any facades, but just because Lord already know. He already knew her. He already knew her circumstance. He already knew everything about her. So, and I appreciate that so much from the Lord that I can just go to him with ugly stuff, you know, and just open up and talk and just let him know and just turn it over to him. But there were some things there. He's approachable. He was relatable. He related to this woman when she really was not real. she could have been offensive to him the way she said, "What you know? What do you have to do? What do I have to do with you? Or what do you have to do with us? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have no dealings with us."
Right.
So he could have been offended. We don't want to get offended by people, you know. And then being relevant. So I'm just saying that, you know, Jesus was in this script. He was a great example of wit, of how we should be, the light that we should be. When people come into contact with us and we come into contact with people, just the perfect example here, how she was empty. She was just as empty as that well. That well really represented her and the depth of the emptiness that she was feeling inside. So the Lord used that to relate to, hey, you can have this living water. This stuff, you're going to thirst again. So, but anyway, thank you. You got me up off the couch.
Oh, man. I didn't do it. Jesus did.
Yeah, I had the t-shirt. I had to go to the laundry room and pull out a shirt. So, you know, I love you so much.
I love you too.
You have such a beautiful delivery, Minister Malone. Just keep that up. Just keep that demeanor, that pleasant, kind spirit that you have, and just continue to break off the word and just let the Lord use, let the Holy Ghost use you. Just let the Holy Ghost use you. Anyway, God bless you. I love all. I love everybody.
Thank you. I feel better.
Sister Malone.
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed you. Your letter.
Thank you.
It's something to me how the Word of God is. It keeps connecting. Like you'll cover one thing and then you cover something else, and they all go together. So what I got out of what you were saying, God's willing to use whoever he want to use. He didn't care nothing about her reputation. Mm-hmm. He changed her reputation. She had a bad reputation, but he didn't disqualify her. You know, God can, you know, a lot of times we just like, man, I got to get it together so I can go to church. Oh, I got to do this so I can, you know, qualify myself. And what I got out of, you know what I got out of it, Sister Malone? I got out of how we talked about John the Baptist, how he had preached Jesus to the Jews before he came, before his ministry started. So my grandmother used to say, the ground was hard. You got to till that ground and to get it to where it's pliable, where you can plant a seed. Because if it's hard and it's no rain, it's just clay. It's just hard. And you plant a seed, it won't grow. Nothing happened. So John the Baptist, he was like, he set the way for people to accept Christ. And this woman did the same thing.
Amen.
The Samaritan people were like two different ethnic groups. Like, and what I know about the story of the Samaritans, they were half Jewish and they was mixed with other things. And they had developed their beliefs different from what Israel was doing. And Israel and the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't deal with each other. They didn't like each other. And so he built the bridge. There's so many stuff. It's a good story. And he built the bridge through love, through two different ethnic groups. But you know, Christ loved. He loved the world. He loved, and he got that woman. That woman had a bad, and I know what it's like. You know, that's a bad man. You know, and she was not a person like Mary. She wasn't like this virgin. She had lived her life, and I believe she was very beautiful because she can get a man.
Right? She had.
She had no problem getting a man. And
that's a way to think about it.
Yeah. But when she talked, when Jesus, like Brother Brasher said, Jesus had just such a way of talking to people. And you know, my mom was like that. You know, she could talk to anybody. She could talk to the whitest of white people who didn't know her, and she could talk to educated people. She could talk to people who weren't educated. She could talk to old people and young people. And that's how my mom was. And that's how Jesus was. He was able to be approachable. He could identify with everybody. And let me tell you what else I kept getting out of when you was teaching that. And I'm gonna stop talking. I got how when I talked about the little man, Zacchaeus, and it dawned on me when you was teaching. That's why I said the Bible just all goes together like a big coat. It's weird.
That's what I'm telling the people. Elder, they gotta read more than John 4.
I'm just telling you, it all connects. When you study again, you're gonna find something what you said, and you just gonna build upon that. So look, the Lord showed me tonight while you was talking, when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, he talked to Zacchaeus about money. About money, because that's what that man's heart was. And he knew about money. He gave the parable about money. Mm-hmm. And he didn't talk to him about like herding sheep. He didn't talk to him about fishing or nothing. He talked about what that man's mind was. And he gave that parable, and that parable unlocked it. It changed his transformation from like money was his God. And then when he started talking about stewardship,
among,
you know what I'm saying, and it changed the whole, like that we don't really own nothing in life. So he unlocked that in his head, man. You think you got money? Money's really just got you. And then when he said, "I'm gonna give everything back. I'm gonna give half of what I got. I'm gonna give four times," because what had happened, he changed over God. Money was his God, but when he met Jesus, Jesus became his God.
Yeah.
Woo! That's what I was like. Woo! And I got that while listening to you. That's why I'm saying the Bible is just, it just all works together. It all works together. And it's weird. You think you're teaching one subject and everything is just wolvering in like one big old blanket of love and grace and mercy. So I just, you know, I thought it was good and I encourage you. It ain't easy. Especially when everybody's mute and you don't hear no amen.
And I can't see the faces. I see what you go through, Pastor. I'm gonna show my face more often.
he's used to it. Understand. Absolutely understand. Good job.
Thank you. And why are you saying it? It made me think like when you was talking about the woman. Well, Trent, between the characteristics between the woman at the well and the nobleman, God changed her into become an evangelist.
Yeah.
So you don't, like you said, you ain't got to get yourself together to go to church.
Right.
God will meet you where you are and he still can use you. And she evangelized like, come meet a man. Come on. Come listen.
Mm-hmm.
And many more believed, where it was like, well, souls are here, I'm here, and more souls came. So amen. Sorry. Amen. I've already done my teaching.
Don't listen.
I just wanted to comment, and it was really, really good, Beverly. And it's good for you to it's good for people. I'm glad that Pastor's given the ministers opportunities. Because the more you do it, the better you get at it, and the more easy it becomes, the more it flows, and you know, you won't feel nervous, because I know you were kind of nervous, I could tell.
I'm nervous when I preach. When I'm asked to pray, I'm nervous. It was just tonight. I live under the weight of God and not miss.
You put a lot of pressure on yourself. Amen. That's what you do. I know.
But the beautiful part about it is that, I mean, she told me before she started she was nervous. But in terms of her demeanor, in terms of what Elder Brasher said about her beautiful delivery and all that.
Amen.
It was just there, you know?
It was so just there. Sweet.
Because what? She was excited about the word, you know what I mean? And it came across. And if you're not excited about the word, just go somewhere and sit down, you know. But if the word is energizing you, you're in the right spot and you can talk about the Lord. All right. We got some relatives on the phone.
Yeah,
if you want to say something, if y'all want to say something, you can, but I'm not making you. I'm not putting you on the spot. But
I am. Say so.
You did great, baby. I think you did great.
Praise the Lord. This is a sister, Renetta. I wanted to say something too. Sister Beverly, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And if you're anything like me, you hate to be called sweet, even though you are loved. But the being called sweet when you're kind of a tough guy is it's hard to hear. Because when I hear you talk, you have a soft voice, you do, but you are you're actually a tough preacher. You remind me of my great grandmother, her style of preaching, because she was get ready, get ready, get ready. You know, she wasn't playing with you. And that you don't meet a lot of people that have that style where they're just like giving it to you straight, and it's not where like. It's not supposed to just make you feel good. You might feel good if that's what God had for you in that moment, but you might feel bad. And it's all to the glory of God. So I just wanted to tell you that as a fellow unsweet girl.
I want to say what I wanted to. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, but amen.
I love your style. You just keep going, and I think you did a great job tonight. Amen.
Thank you. I love you, Netta. Thank you.
Me too. I love you too.
Praise the Lord, Mr. Beverly.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Sister Carol. I just wanted to say that I enjoyed the word tonight. I'm familiar with this story, but you went deeper in it. And I like your part about once she heard from Jesus how she was instructed, and she went back out just to evangelize and to win more souls for the Lord, to tell others about Jesus after that she had her encounter with him. And I just take it, you know, we all have encounters with Jesus, and it's all about winning souls and going back and telling somebody else about Jesus. Look what he's done for me. He done it for me. He'll do it for you. And it was a beautiful message. And I just want to let you know that I really enjoyed it. It was anointed and everything, and I really appreciate that. I got a lot out of it.
Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Final remarks, Minister Malone, and close us out, please, Minister Malone, in prayer.
Can I just ask one thing when you pray to Minister Malone?
Yes,
a prayer request. This pain that you know, what this sciatica is very, very excruciating pain and everything. And they got me on narcotics, but I can't take too much of them, you know, because they only give you like 12 because of, you know, how people got addicted to opioids a while ago. So they really stingy with them. But it just had me in tears and everything. If you could just pray for me that the Lord would deliver me from this pain. Plus, also, it's so severe, it raises my blood pressure up. So I've been having high blood pressure and everything. But it's some awful pain, please, in Jesus' name.
Yes, ma'am. My final remarks is here. I know I have family on, so they could see Samantha. Yeah, say hi, everybody.
Hey, Samantha.
Hey, I check out my auntie. I see my brother's name. Oh, my heart's so full. Amen. Okay. I have no words to say for final remarks. I mean, I think any other ministers and preachers on that know, like, when you're preparing to teach or to preach, you have all these notes, and many times you don't get to half of it. So, I mean, I have pages of notes, and amen. But I pray that you all were blessed by the teaching. I hope there were some seeds that were sown, that you all can go and water some more seeds, and let's reap a harvest for the glory of God. Amen.
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 Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for just being God. We thank you for this time to gather together over your word. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for receiving your word, praying that your word fell on good ground in the name of Jesus. We know, oh God, that no flesh is glory, but you get and receive all the glory in the name of Jesus. We pray for Sister Carol, her prayer request. We pray that your word will come alive in her body, because you said that by your stripes we are healed. So we pray, Jesus, the healing shall take place in her body. Remove pain, remove hurt in the name of Jesus. Restore strength to her body in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, oh God. We thank you in advance for the healing. We thank you in advance, oh God. Hallelujah. And we pray, Jesus, that it's not prolonged healing, but you can do a quick work in her body. We pray for anyone else on that may have a prayer request or going through anything, have situations. We pray, God, that you will be God. Show yourself, magnify yourself in every situation. Magnify yourself in our homes. Let your spirit dwell in our homes, in our communities, on our jobs, in our schools, especially in our schools, in our babies, oh God, the children, Jesus. We pray right now that you will endow us with a special spirit and anointing to reach somebody, anybody, anyone that we come in contact, Jesus. Let us sow a seed of your word and a seed of faith that they may be drawn unto you in the name of Jesus. We trust that someone will water and the soul will be reaped into heavenly places in the name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night. I love,
love
you.
Thank you, family.
Love everybody.
I love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you too. Good night. Have a blessed night.
Powerful job. Powerful
good
job.
Good night.
Love, good night. Love you with the love of Christ. Amen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Way to go. Way to go.
Oh, she drinking. She looks good.
Way to go. Look at her. Look at her.
Hey, Nunenberg.
You say TT? Say hi, TT.
Was it really, was it the baby preaching and just working your mouth?
Yeah. she got cotton mouth and then she got to wet her whistle.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Love you all.
Love you.
Night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.